110 days in Ann Arbor, Michigan, on the football field.
We don't want to coach average. I don't want to be around you. Why be around average?
We do want to win because winning is the epitome of team effort.
Every coach who ever put a whistle around their neck strives to be the head coach at The Ohio State University.
Welcome back, everybody, to Buckeye Bar Guys here on Buckeye Bar Talk. I'm Mike.
And I'm John.
Tonight's date is Friday, February 3rd, 2023. And we're going to talk a little bit about some of the stuff that's happened with the football team over the last couple of weeks, since the last show. We're going to go over a few things with recruiting. Is the class is official? Talk about some of the big guys we're looking forward to. And then a couple transfer things we'll talk about. We got a cornerback from Ole Miss. This was last week. We got him. So that helps definitely with the depth. And then coaches, we'll be talking about coaches to finish up the show. James Laurinaitis, people have been watching and listening to our show for a long time, know our feelings about wanting James back in Columbus. And then we'll finish up on Brian Hartline is going to get some play calling duties in the spring. So that would be a good test for him. So we will finish the show on that. Starting with recruiting. So I think we decided that we'll just hit a couple big time names that we're looking forward to. I think we probably have some of the same names. You know, obviously, I think a lot of the splash in the class was definitely in the receiving room. You know, got a couple good corners. Luke Montgomery, somebody I'm looking forward to because he could add possibly some even depth this year. You know, when you think about where maybe we're a little bit behind on some of the offensive line depth going into next season. So why don't you start us off? Just a couple of people you're looking at and general thoughts about the class.
So starting defensively, I mean, I'm really excited actually about the two cornerbacks they got. I wish they would have got more, but Jermaine Matthews and Calvin Simpson Hunt, they both seem like excellent cover corners. Man-to-man guys, I saw Calvin Simpson Hunt in his Army All-American Bowl. Mm-hmm. Is it just the All-American Bowl? I don't know. He looked really good in the man-to-man drills. I mean, he stays on guys' hips. He knows how to look back for the ball. Everything you want in a guy. He seems like, he had just fluid hips and he knows how to stay with guys. Can play a press man really fast. I think he has track speed. So just, you can't teach speed. So, I mean, I'm really excited to see him. And then Jermaine Matthews is a guy from Wynton Woods that just jumped up the recruiting boards like crazy once he started camping out. It looks like he's going to be great in press coverage. And, we really need those guys that are able to be put on islands and can find the ball and are physical and can just wrestle away balls from receivers. So, I mean, those are the two I'm most looking forward to on defense. On offense, I don't want to take too much. I was going to say a collective whole. I've actually gone through three different ones. I was going to say a collective whole, the receivers, because they all bring a little something different. And I don't think Hartline's quite gotten a full group like that yet. So I'm excited about that. But then I was like, nah, I don't want them. And then I thought Jelani Thurman, because I don't think we've seen a tight end like him in a long time. And I said, nah, I don't want, I'm not going with him. And then it's funny because it's the guy that you actually just mentioned, Luke Montgomery, because I think he actually adds a ton into the tackle room. He's probably going to be a right tackle, but I think he helps us out immediately. He at least gets to the two deep.
Yeah. I think the thing I like about him is that I think he, for somebody that we thought we were going to lose when Stud was here and, Fry ended up saving the day there and bringing him in. And then he ended up becoming a big time spokesman for the class. He was one of the ones that really comes to my head, like him and Ennis probably the most.
Yeah.
That were probably the most vocal about kids recruiting kids and committing and different stuff like that. And you always need kids like that on the team. And, you know, obviously I'm always going to be partial to Ohio linemen. It's the one thing I always think that I've said this on the show before, sometimes, and I know we get the star ratings, love affair on a lot of things. And I don't think a lot of times, and it could be the spring football thing, it could be a couple other things, I just don't think sometimes the linemen in the state of Ohio get judged correctly as a whole. Mm-hmm. Obviously there's some big time linemen that are in the state. I mean, when you think about guys like Paris and different things like that, obviously, you know, there's been plenty of top level five-star offensive linemen and that have been in the state of Ohio from, you know, I'm sure going way beyond Orlando Pace, mm-hmm. through Orlando Pace into forward. But I think there's a lot of good 3- and 4-star guys there that sometimes I think Ohio State kind of overlooks, and because they're trying to get the 5-star guy out of here or the 5-star guy out of there. And I think that's all really good. And I would love to get those 5-star guys too. But I think that maybe, you know, Ohio State should be like, it's on some of these guys, you know, and I know that they're getting a little nervous, be like, well, if I offer this, you know, high 3-star kid, low 4-star kid out of Ohio, he's probably going to commit immediately.
Yeah.
And obviously it's probably his dream school. And I think that's kind of the risk you take. And I think I think they eventually, you know, once you get him into the program and stuff like that, they've always been pretty consistent offensive linemen. I mean, there's mashers in this state. I mean, you live in a freaking, I mean, it might be stereotypical, but you live in a damn farm state. And,
right.
You know, so these are big body kids that, you know, yeah, they might not be exactly ready because of the spring football stuff, as you know, that's a whole nother season. Basically you get with spring football, but you know, you're not necessarily wanting these kids to come in and play as freshmen to begin with. You know, like you should never be in a depth issue. Like it kind of seems like they are that, you know, you're hoping Luke Montgomery comes in and is able to put some things. So, just my 2 cents. I like the fact that he was out there and he was really like pushing the issue with recruiting. And so I'm really looking forward to seeing him play. And I think, like you just said, I really do think he might get some shots this year, mm-hmm. and, you know, and playing. I'm definitely with you on the corners. I think that those two guys, you know, there's some chances there. I mean, I know you got, Jair back and you got Denzel back and you got, you know, Hancock, obviously that's, you know,
yeah, he'll be healthy.
You know, coming us up, and you got the kid that we're going to talk about in a second that's transfer in, but you know, that's 4 guys there. I'm trying to think who else they brought in last year.
I can't, they got a decent one out. I think he's from Florida. Yeah. I can't think of his name. Why can't I think of his name, but they got a good one.
Yeah. But you know, so there's some opportunities there that they might get a shot to play this year, you know, especially if you get in some blowouts in situations like that. And it's the kind of a thing we've talked about with Ryan Day. He needs to kind of focus on that a little bit, that, you know, you get into situations where you get up, we got to get some of these kids in and, you know, let them, you know, work through some of their growing pains actually on a football field against real competition. As long as they're ready to play.
Ryan Turner, he's from Florida.
Okay. Yeah. And I'm looking forward to seeing him play too. But again, just a lot like the offensive line, you know, there's still some little depth issues. I would like to have maybe another corner or two on this team. So there's going to be opportunities there for possibly these guys to get in, you know, and see some playing time this year. And I definitely liked, you know, I didn't watch the, you know, the All-Star games, but I watched some of the different things that people put up. I always get more interested in the practice videos that come out to when they're actually doing one-on-ones against legitimate talent. And both of them looked like they could lock down people.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I'm definitely looking forward to that. And they both look like they're big guys and they got some length to them. And that, you know, which is good. They got strength there. Defensively, just real quick, you know, obviously, you know, I feel a lot about you with the receivers. I think there's some, you know, some good ones in there. I will actually say the one I'm thinking of the most right now in a second. I'm really looking forward to seeing what, you know, Josh Mickens can do, you know, Malik Hartford can do. And Jason Moore can do, you know, they're all, you know, pretty high up there. Yeah. You know, you had edge rusher, a defensive lineman, and a safety. You know, Hartford, I'm looking forward to you. This is a safety driven defense. And I liked a lot of things. I saw some of the beat reporters that went to some of his games and stuff. You know, he got some things that got put up on, you know, obviously he's a local kid. So, you know, some of our guys were able to get out to Friday night games with him. And, you know, I liked a lot what I saw from him, different things on Twitter, that videos that got posted throughout the season. So, you know, I'm looking forward to see what he can do. And, you know, that I think the safety depth's a little bit better than where maybe the corner depth is.
Well, yeah, safety depth. It's a safety, fine.
But it's a safety driven defense and you're going to need three of them. You know, that's pretty much the thing, is three of these guys have to play. And so, you know, I'm really looking forward to them. You know, obviously, you know, I think Ennis and Tate were obviously the big names, and I'm really looking forward to seeing them. But I am actually, you know, I've really been digging Noah Rogers lately, and I'm like, really, yeah,
he's good.
And, you know, he's got a big body on him, 6'2", and
he's fast too.
And and that was like the one thing we kind of like, it's like, seems like that's kind of the one thing we've missed maybe for a couple of years. And I know that both Garrett Wilson and Olave could get open deep, but they were neither one of them were necessarily known as burners, even though they both had good top end
speed. Yeah, right. Yeah, they did. Yeah.
And like, but they got open a lot from, because they were just really great at doing moves. And like, I would really like, and I love great moves. I love, you know, tricking corners and stuff like that, and tricking safeties. But I want to see a guy that can just blow by somebody.
Yeah.
Too. And you know, that we just have somebody to take the top off the ball.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Bryson Rogers, I think, will be
lost you for a second there. You were back.
I'm here. Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah. It was just, I don't know if it was me that went out or you went out. I had a thing that came up that said connection lost. Noah Rogers. I want to see somebody that can really take the top off the ball.
Yeah. And I think Bryson Rogers will be interesting too. He's really, he kind of reminds me of JSN. I mean, I don't know if that's blasphemy or not, because that guy's one of the best route runners, you know, ever. But I saw a lot of like his high school film. Of course, you only see the good stuff, but it looked, I mean, it reminded me of him, just the short distance route running, how he can get open, you know, close to the line of scrimmage.
Yeah. And it'll definitely be interesting with some of these guys, how well they do now going forward, that, you know, Brian Hartline's not necessarily going to be teaching them on day-to-day stuff. And, you know, so much of our receiver success over the last couple of seasons is that they've had a really, really good coach in the room that knew his stuff. And nothing against Keegan. And, you know, I think that he could be the real deal. It's just, you know, Hartline's just got other responsibilities now. Yeah, I'm sure he's going to be paying a lot of attention still to the receivers. Those are his babies, but you know, so that'll be a little interesting going forward. But
sure,
I definitely like this class. I think top to bottom, and we've had some pretty damn good classes. I mean, obviously we don't know what last year's class is going to bring us yet. But I think probably on paper, this has been my favorite class coming into,
altogether or receiver only?
Receivers.
Oh, okay.
We're just talking about receivers
here. Like, we
I think
2021, man, we have Jack Sawyer, JT. Okay.
Just for the receivers, I think.
I agree with you. Yeah.
Coming into it, obviously they got to prove themselves. So,
right.
You know, I mean, obviously you think about Marvin Abuka and stuff. I think these guys are very interesting, you know, coming in together. So definitely something I'm looking forward to. And I definitely agree with you with Jelani. I want to see what he looks like, you know, going forward. And I kind of want to see I'm kind of interested about, Will Smith and Caden McDonald. I definitely like getting a big body in there at defensive lineman was, very good. It seems like sometimes we don't get those guys initially and we got to kind of build their weights up. I like getting a guy that's already over 300 pounds and then you just, now you kind of fit in.
It's supposed to move very well too.
Yeah. So a lot to like in the class. It wasn't necessarily a big class, but you know, the transfers add a little bit more depth to it and, you know, we'll see where things end up after spring. If we have to pick up a few more transfers. So unless you want to touch on anything else with the actual recruiting class, we can get into, you know, the cornerback we just got out of Ole Miss.
Yeah, I think that's a good segue. So Davison Igbinosin, he was I don't know if he was all freshman SEC or not. I know he was good. He started at Ole Miss as a freshman, so he has 3 years of eligibility left. Gets to play immediately. Long kid, 6'2", 185. I like that in a corner. It seems like he can cover well. He had like 5 pass deflections or something this year. I know there was, I heard, you know, pretty much like he had a lot of good plays and there's some plays on film that he got burned, which he's a freshman in the SEC, so that's going to happen. But big, it seems like he's a physical player, though. He comes down, meets the ball carriers on running plays. So, I mean, nothing not to like. You like having those long guys, too. They've always been good for Ohio State, so I'm happy to see it. I think he'll do well.
I think the only thing that was kind of like, just kind of, and this is my old, you know, football thinking here. It's like, and I get it, recruiting or transferring is a lot different now. It was just, I was a little weird that, like, you know, for somebody that actually did get some playing time this year, that, you know, why he was transferring out of there. You know, you would think he would want to stay down in the SEC, but I don't know. I mean,
the end of the day, Mike, it's still Ole Miss.
Yeah, I get that.
And he's from New Jersey. It was just
and that makes a little bit more sense. It was just a little weird to me. I just, like, you know, like, I just hope there's no problems or anything like that. But
yeah, again, Lane Kiffin, man, that's the problem, is Lane Kiffin. Thank you.
That's old school thinking, I guess, that, you know, so these are just kids that just want to transfer now. But, you know, I think he is. I did like some of the stuff I saw, some of the stuff you just mentioned. And I think he's going to add some very valuable depth and possibly could threaten.
He could start, you know, right away.
The other side for Denzel Burke. So something to keep, you know, both Hancock and Jair, you know, keep their kind of their feet to the fire. Cause, you know, he's got some playing time. He's, you know, he's been thrown in the fire, so he could, you know, he could light, you know, a fire under Walton, and Walton loves him.
Yeah.
And,
I mean,
he gets him starting.
I consider 3 corner starters. So he's immediately a starting cornerback. And then that kid they got from Syracuse, which I'm not going to look it up. His name escapes me. I think it's like Jahad Carter. I think he immediately starts as a nickel safety for us.
Jahad Carter.
Yeah. So I think they actually do got 2 starting secondary members that have transferred in. So, I mean, I know they're not, Michigan, we'll talk Michigan. They got a lot of like line transfers in, like really good guys. These guys aren't maybe as good as what they got, but they're going to be starters and they're going to add a lot to our team. So very excited for that.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I think, you know, I like some of the kids that they got. It was interesting, you know, I didn't realize the quarterback, he's kind of coming in because he wants to be a coach one day. And, you know, I guess having a veteran in the locker room, that was kind of what Dave was talking about. You know, it doesn't hurt necessarily. You have a 4th, you know, break glass emergency quarterback. If, you know, God forbid you lose 3 of them and, you know, and then also possibly, you know, they might even decide that, you know, he might be the 3rd starter over the freshman.
Right.
If they decide that, you know, cause he's actually got experience. So, you know, so that's obviously that's a good thing. I liked what I see there for him.
And he's in, right? In spring.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, the Lincoln Keenholz isn't coming him in, I don't believe, till summertime. So
I think that's what Ryan Day said.
Yeah. So, I mean, this guy, you don't want McCord, and I know Brown and McCord are up to the challenge, but you don't need their arms falling off in the spring either. So, this is a guy that, you know, gets some, you know, some extra snaps, helps out. But yeah, I mean, that's a big get.
And I think, you know, and I think Cutler, you know, the lineman,
he'll challenge for, he might challenge for a starting center.
Yeah. I think, you know, that leaves a possibility there that, you know, we do need some depth in the middle, you know, Whipler, it seemed like Whipler threw everybody for a little bit of a loop that,
you know, decided to Justin Fry did name Carson Hensman, the kid we got from Wisconsin, you know, out of Wisconsin last year, as a guy that's been looking good at center. So
yeah,
look out for that.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree that there could be.
Yeah, Luke Whipler, and I didn't think of this originally, so I'm not gonna like take credit for it. But you know, with all the NIL craziness that's going on and these collectives that want pat on the back all the time, like Luke Whipler isn't gonna get some crazy deal going to the NFL. I mean, maybe he will. Who knows? Maybe he'll surprise us. I think he'll probably be like a third or fourth round draft pick. Like, you're telling me you couldn't have got the money together to get Luke Whipler back for another season?
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I mean, just read, I mean, listen to the day's press conference this week and just kind of read in between the line. I mean, he was kind of surprised. He's like, and then it was funny. He's like, you know, Paris should go, you know, I think Paris could go to the first round and, you know, hopefully Luke gets drafted. And then like, he waits a second. He's like, early.
I mean, he's going to get drafted. I don't know. Center is such a hard position to call out, you know?
The thing about that is that, yeah, I think he'll probably get drafted, but you know how that thing goes.
He's a really good center.
You slide into day three and teams just start forgetting about you. And then before you.
Well, I mean, it's like once you get there, it's just so many teams do have needs, and it's just, yeah, you can get buried easily. Like, you can be forgotten.
Yeah. I mean, I think he will get drafted, but you know, it's just
I could see day two. I could see either end of second, anywhere in the third, but it could go day three. I don't think he'll be undrafted. He's a really good center. I don't think he'll be undrafted. But you never know. Yeah, I don't see first round. Now DeJuan Jones, I saw him his stock went up and then he got hurt. So,
yeah,
but I mean, I don't know. Everyone's saying he did enough what he needs to do. So I could definitely see high second round for him, but he could sneak into the first round with what he was doing in practice, because he was pancaking dudes left and right. He's a mountain to get around.
We'll be definitely talking. Yeah.
Yeah.
I look forward to talking some NFL stuff once we
drafts another day
when we get down a little bit down here, down the road. All right. So
the big get.
Little Animal is back in Columbus.
Coming home.
I will say one thing, and I didn't realize, you know, somebody put up the, you know, it was just some random person put up like what we were rated and, you know, special teams this year. And I don't know, maybe he was a linebacker specialist coach last year. I would be okay I would like to see him out recruiting, and like, I would be okay naming him right now the special teams coach and let him actually physically go recruit and then help out in the linebacker room and try to take over the linebackers. When listen to him talk, and now granted, I listened to his radio show, him and Bo Bishop's radio show, you know, pretty religiously when he was on almost every day. So I've always been a James Laurinaitis fan, and you know, from back when he played here, and you know, obviously I loved watching him. Yeah, I didn't get to watch a lot of Rams games, but anytime, you know, they'd play the Browns or they were on TV, I watched them. And I mean, he was a hell of a lot. I mean, he's just a hell of a linebacker.
He played in the NFL for a long, long time.
He's just so smart though. And like, when you hear him talk, like, he knows what he's talking about. And he can coach the stuff. And I always thought that when he was doing, you know, the radio show. You know, but I can understand they kind of like reading between the lines is a couple of the things that Ryan Day said, because I kind of been hard on him that I thought they should go out and get him. But, you know, Ryan Day, you know, kind of said it in his press conference this week that, you know, he's like, I had to be sure that he was crazy enough that he wanted to get into it.
Yeah.
And I get that point of view. I mean, the guy made it. He made it in the NFL for a long time. He's got money. He doesn't need to go coach. And, you know, he's got a pretty good gig between the Big Ten Network and 97.1. that, you know, he's making money and that he doesn't need. So you have to be a certain dedicated person. So I get Ryan Day's point of view on that, that he had to see that, you know, he really wanted to do this. And I think once Day saw that he really wanted to do this and he did it at Notre Dame and he did a good job. And, you know, a lot of people over there was talking very highly about him, and that I think that it was a no brainer. Yeah. You know, this guy needs to be here and he needs to be coaching. And, you know, I just loved a lot of the stuff he said in his press conference.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Watch him very quickly do what Hartline did. Take, you know, guys that were good, because I'm not going to talk bad about the guys that were in the room, and because I think Urban and Zach Smith, they did recruit a very good room that Brian Hartline came into, but he did take them to the next level. So watch what James does here, that he will become, I believe, Brian Hartline of the defense. I think he'll get a promotion within, I want to say, 1 year. I think next year he will be a full-time coach that's on the road recruiting, 2 years tops. Outside of that, though, you know, like how he talked was, it kind of just reminds me of Brian. It's like, you know, he talked about who he was as a player, that he was never, I want to say, twitched up would be the way I would take it, that he couldn't make a false step and recover from that. Yeah. And make the plays that he needed to. Now, he did credit himself. He's like, I was a good athlete for the time I was playing in, but I couldn't just do that. So I had to be X's and O's. I had to know what they were doing pre-snap. And then he went on to say, you know, I can get these guys now that they could be those freak athletes. But if they know what I know and they know what, you know, what's going on pre-snap, where's your leverage at? Where's a, you know, a chip coming from, a pick coming from, that they can think about all that stuff and they know it's coming before the ball's even snapped, or at least they have a good idea that that could be coming. Now think about how fast they can play. They're these freak. Yeah. They're these freak athletes that now they have all this knowledge in their head. Think about how fast they can play. And I think that's going to resonate with all these guys, just like Hartline does, that it's not going to be about the upfront, you know, $1 million, $500,000, whatever, to come to Ohio State, the nonsense NIL inducements that we're all fighting with right now. But it's going to be, this guy's going to make me a multi, you know, over millionaire for years to come in the NFL, because he's going to take what I have, this ball of clay, and he's going to fill my head with all this football knowledge, and I'm going to be the total package afterwards.
Yeah. And I loved when he said that, because honestly, that is like the one thing that, you know, he could be a leader on the whole defense with that. Because when you really look over the last couple of seasons, the biggest issue a lot that they've had, I mean, a lot of it's tackling. They got to fix some of that. But a lot of that is just that they react wrong on different things, they take poor pursuit angles, and it's like they take those bad missteps, and they do have athletes all over the field. And sometimes, you know, they're able to run somebody down because they do have an athlete, but other times it's like the other team's got an athlete too. And your bozo misstep or whatever, just costs a 50-yard touchdown run or a 60-yard touchdown run.
And there wasn't a lot of that with linebackers this year. So, I mean, it was a well-coached group. So, I mean, they're going to miss the guy that left, but I think they're getting a better one coming in.
Yeah. I really think that what he's going to do, and he kind of said it this year, he was kind of running the linebackers up at Notre Dame. I think he's going to end up doing that here. And that lets Knowles, he gets to be a world traveler around the defense.
We need to
that's desperately needed too. And that's why, if this works, I think he needs to be promoted next year. And, you know, maybe that's half linebacker coach and then linebacker coach, and he takes over special teams, and, you know, he's the man, because you're going to have to free up a coaching spot somewhere. So Parker obviously, you know, makes the most sense, you know, on that, but who knows? You know, there's talks that they might get another in the next couple of years too. They might get another coach, you know, from the NCAA. Mm-hmm. So that could happen too.
I mean, Larry Johnson could walk away. I mean, I know it's not what he played, but he might be a defensive line coach first, you know, like,
you never know. And I mean, it could happen. You know, I think he has a lot of knowledge about the game of football. And, you know, he played middle linebacker, and back in his time at middle linebacker, that was still the captain of the defense, the quarterback of the defense. So, you know, the middle linebacker had literally had to know what everybody else was doing because, you know, he's the one that had to direct everybody.
I did like when he said that Spagnuolo told him the advice to get into coaching, coach offense.
Yeah, I like that too. I laughed when he said that.
That was funny.
I mean, it was literally like you thought he'd been coaching for 10 years. I mean, that's how polished he was.
Yeah.
I mean, like it wasn't like he was phased at all when he was going talking to this guy. I mean, obviously it's kind of funny that he's a grad assistant. It's like, you know, I mean,
he was talking about that. Knowledge. He was like, can I do that? And like, cause that's how Marcus introduced him. But, I don't know if you listened to Austin Ward's podcast today, they were interviewing him though. And he's like, yeah, when I'm at South Bend, you know, Marcus introduces me as a GA here. I thought I was an analyst. And I'm like, GA. And he's like, the important thing is that means I can be on the practice field. I can be on the field with the guys, that I don't just sit up in a booth and watch it. So yeah, but he has to enroll in school to be a GA. So
yeah, so I don't, I mean, whatever, it's taking some extra education. I mean, this is what it is. I mean, I guess at that point you get to take some fun classes if you want to, but
right.
Knowing James, he's probably taking something very serious. I mean, the dude, I mean, if anybody's not listened to when he was on the radio, I mean, he's a very intellectual guy. I mean, likes, you know, being challenged mentally on stuff like that. I mean, because I always used to remember, I wrote down a lot of the different books he would used to recommend on the show that he was reading at the time and stuff. So, I mean, yeah. I mean, I was super happy when they brought him back. And then it's like listening to him talk, and I know it's just talking, but I'm like, that's why I wanted the diet guy here, because he understands this game and he understands the position. And I think he's going to end up being, he's just going to be that guy. He's going to be the heartline of the defense. And my God, when this guy ends up starts recruiting, like when he's actually allowed to go out there, I don't even want to know the kids that he's going to sell to come to Columbus, because he's going to sell kids that, you know, he's going to go into a five-star home somewhere, just like Brian Hartline is going into, you know, different people's, like the Garrett Wilsons of the world and the Carnell Tates and the Brandon Ennises. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's and the Marvin Harrison Juniors. And he's like, you know, come to Columbus. And, you know, yeah, like these kids can go anywhere they want and they're coming here. And I just think that's going to be the exact same thing. And, you know, and I think, you know, we've never really necessarily had problems getting linebackers, but we're going to continue getting those big time linebackers. But this time, you know, it just seems like over the last couple of years that some of these guys haven't had the right teachers. And, you know, I'm just thinking of guys that's just, it took a while for them to get it and have been like, you know, what if they don't take a while to get it now because they just have somebody that really knows the position teaching them. I mean, what's this kid, what's he going to do for somebody like CJ Hicks? It's going to be the world. And like, you know, I mean,
yeah,
like, I don't know.
Yeah. I'm telling you right now though. I mean, I know when he gets the guys on the phone, he'll get them into the camps and I know he'll impress the hell out of them during the camps, but there's going to be guys that are going to be, you know, pursued by the Georgias and Alabamas and the USC's and Miami's and Texas's of the world that they're not going to commit right there at a camp. So they better have a damn good closer on the road or they better make him full time pretty quick. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, because I'd hate for him to have some guy right there on the line and then somebody doesn't want to travel to go see them. Like, I don't know. Hartline might have to be pulling double duty. It might have to go recruit some defensive guys too.
And I think the thing is why I want him on the road is I don't know what Parker's like on the road. I know Knowles.
Have you heard of Parker Fleming's signing anybody? Like, honestly,
no, I haven't.
I haven't.
And, you know,
and I hate taking and shots saying, at guys,
I'm
but
I'm not saying though, he's just maybe a nobody. And it's just, I don't know if he's got that, the oomph to be able to do
that's
it.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
We know Iliano, he's got a good reputation on the road. Larry always had a good reputation on the road, but he's getting older now. I don't know how much Larry likes, you know, that he likes to be out there as much as a, you know, I mean, it's pretty well known that, you know, Knowles is not, it's not his favorite thing in the world.
It better start being his favorite thing, man. We need studs.
And then, you know, and I'm not sure how Walton feels about it. It seems like he was out pretty much. And, you know, it seems like he likes it, but you know, he's coming from the NFL. So
from
a
long time in the NFL.
If that's the thing. So, you know, I think we need another guy with Eliano that, you know, really likes doing that. It's got some energy out there.
Yeah.
And, you know, he loves Ohio State. And I think that, you know, I will say, you know, the two favorite parts of the things that he said in the press conference. So you already talked about the one when he said, you know, he needed to know the X's and O's and stuff like that. But I loved when he said he was, when they were asking about Brian Hartline and, you know, being wide receiver, you and now, and he's like, this is Ohio State. You're one of the top programs in the country. We should be wide receiver, you and linebacker, you and DL, you. And he's like, you're at a school that you can literally have it all. And I'm like, yeah, I love that.
Well, and he believes it too. And that's not saying that, you know, guys from the past didn't, they blew smoke up your ass or anything like that. I mean, like Jim Knowles said a lot last year, you know, I'm at the Ohio State and having that on my shirt got me into places, you know, that I didn't get to go in before, and it helps with recruiting. But I think Hartline definitely, he takes that to a different level with his recruiting. And I think James will do the same once he's in that position that he's actually on the road. I think he's going to kill recruiting. Like I think on the phone and in camp, he's just going to light it up and he's going to get some big names quick. I really do believe that. And I think I think that's just ultimately is going to force the hand that he has to be on the road sooner than later.
Yeah. And, you know, just one last thing on him. I think the thing that he's going to bring, just like I think Hartline brings it, is that he's a no bullshitter. And, you know, sometimes when you get when you're Brian Hartline and you're James Laurinaitis, you can be a no bullshitter because you know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, you know, a lot of recruiting is blowing smoke up people's ass. And I think Brian Hartline I think he can go into a recruit's house, a five-star recruit's house, and I think he can be serious and be like, hey, you know, this is something that you need to work on.
Yeah.
You know, but you'll be great at it if you come to Ohio State. And, you know, this is what I did in the NFL. And, you know, come here. And I think Laurinaitis will be the same way. And, you know, like, I don't think he's going to be like, rah, rah, rah. You know, Ohio State's going to do this, this, and this, and this for you. You know, I think he'll say that. That's going to be his closing pitch. But he's going to say, you know, yeah, you're a damn good player, but you know what? You're a little slow reacting here on this stuff. And yeah, you're the man here in high school, but next year you're not going to be the man anymore. No, regardless of where you go. So, you know, go somewhere that, you know, I'm going to make you the man and you get to go. And then you get to be not the man anymore when you go to an NFL and learn to try to become the man again. Mm-hmm. And so like, and I think that's kind of going to be his philosophy and stuff. And that's just, again, how I feel, how he is, just from listening to him from so many years on the radio, that he's not a bullshitter. And, you know, he's always honest. I mean, he's always been very super honest whenever he's like talked about the Buckeyes.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when they only win by two touchdowns, it's like, yeah, you know, that was Toledo. We should have won by five touchdowns. Like, you know, and he kind of talked about that in the press conference. That was another thing he talked about in the press conference. He's like, hey, there's going to be teams we play on the schedule that we need to win every game, and there's going to be teams on the schedule we have to win impressively.
and he gets that. And I think there, I mean, it all depends how you relate to people and how you do it teaching. So, but you know, when you start in the NFL, and this, I'm saying five because of, you know, Brian's time there, but if you're a starter in the NFL for 5+ years, there's not much about football, at least your position, that you don't know. You know, like exactly. The NFL is just a different beast. So there's not much you're going to be able to tell James about defense, specifically what a linebacker needs to do, that is going to shock him or he's going to learn from that. Of course, he has to learn the system, be able to teach it. And then that's where you actually see where his teaching chops come in. Can he relate to the guys? Can he show them what they need to do? I have full confidence in him, but there's not going to be an actual better teacher of the position than him on the team.
Yeah.
Or at least a more knowledgeable person of the position than him on the team.
No. Yeah, definitely. All right.
Now let's talk about the second guy then.
Brian Hartline. So it was Ryan Day did. Obviously, we talked about already that he got his promotion. We talked about that in the last episode. And we did some speculation. You know, how much is he going to actually be able to do play calling, stuff like that? Is he going to be doing some play calling in the spring? Well, that was answered this week. He is going to get the opportunity to do play calling in the spring. Very smart decision on Ryan Day. And what that tells me is Ryan Day is actually very serious about eventually turning over the responsibilities to this, because, you know, he could very easily say that, you know, I'm going to call it this spring and he's going to learn underneath me. No, he said, hey, you're going to kind of throw his feet to the fire right here. And kind of the way it sounds like it, just from listening to his press conference a little bit, that he said that I think he's going to let Jim Knowles kind of, you know, welcome Brian Hartline's play call, and then he's going to let them play against each other, obviously. And that makes all the sense in the world. You put a black shirt on frickin' McCord and Brown, and, you know, you let everybody go full go, and, you know, let the Brian Hartline see some, maybe some complicated stuff thrown at him and see how he reacts to it. And, you know, Ryan Day's like, you know, obviously fundamentals is a very important in spring and we're going to do all that, but I got to create, he's like, I'm also have to find a starting quarterback. I got to create as many, we got to create as many game time situations as we can create this, you know, this off season. And, you know, I like that approach. And I think that's going to be the smart approach. And, you know, let's see how Brian reacts to, you know, a defensive play caller, you know, that does know what he's doing. And, you know, I mean, you can have some, there's obviously issues about how the end of season ended, but, you know, he does know how to call a defense. He's done it for a long time. And, you know, he's going to throw a lot of looks at Hartline. I guarantee this spring that's going to make Brian have to stop and think sometimes on some stuff. So, you know, I like that philosophy going into the spring.
I will say though, and I get given game time situations to the, you know, the quarterbacks, and everything, but please stress fundamentals on defense. Cause
yeah, I mean,
those last two games, you won over half those games, but the little play or the little parts that you didn't win are what cost you the game. Cause they were big parts that you didn't win. So, you know, like,
no, I agree with that.
You,
and I think
you won you won like 90% of the Georgia game, but 10% of the game that you lost cost you.
Yeah. And I think that they're going to, I mean, he did say they're going to work on fundamentals, and I agree. I do believe that they're going to do it. And, you know, I think that you got a lot of veterans back on the team though, too. So I think a lot of the fundamentals and going hard, and, you know, I think you can kind of do both together in a lot of ways. You can kind of do game time situations and still be teaching fundamentals. You stop, if somebody misses a tackle, you stop it and throw somebody else in. You got enough players on this team. If somebody misses a tackle, okay, you need to step out now, and, you know, we're gonna let somebody else play. And, you know, you need to watch that from over there. And, you know,
but
to
get down to like business on this though, I do think Brian's going to be successful in as an offensive play caller. I mean, the guy's been successful his whole career. I don't see any reason to doubt him now that he can't do this. I know some people are scared, like, oh, they're just going to pass. No, I don't think Brian's just going to pass. I think Brian's going to learn what makes him successful, and he's going to go with that. Now, I mean, of course, you know, he got all these receivers in. He's going to have a big time quarterback. So it might be like Joe Brady with Joe Burrow and really unlock the passing of this offense. But he's not going to not run the ball, and they're not going to not run the ball effectively.
No, you're not. Brian Hartline is smart enough, and considering now he's recruiting for the whole offense, that he's going to still want to get the Trey Hendersons of the world and the Evan Pryors of the world and the Dallin Haydens of the world. Well,
right.
You got to run the ball if you're going to get recruits. So, like,
Jim Tressel was his college coach. He understands the importance of running the ball.
Jim Tressel was both the guys that we just talked about, college coaches, and they both have had a lot of like high praise to say about him over the years.
Oh yeah. You know? I mean, what bad can you say about Tressel? He didn't turn in guys for getting tattoos. Come on.
Yeah. But no, I do like give Brian the chance and see what he can do. And then, you know, they're going to give Dave some confidence, I think, going into the season, that, you know, you know, if he struggles a little bit play calling, maybe Day starts him off a little slower in the season. And, you know, the bad games, the, you know, Youngstown State. All right, I'm going to let you call Youngstown State. And, yeah, you know, I'm going to call Notre Dame, but you're going to call Youngstown State and, you know, a couple of the other games. And, you know, and we're going to work this through until, you know, you're fully ready. But might as well see what he gets now. You know, baptism by fire.
I agree. So, yeah, I mean, I'm excited for it. I think he'll be a very dynamic recruiter for all positions on the field, not just wide receiver, or all positions on the offense, I should say. People are going to want to play in his offense. So I'm very, I'm excited for
I'm looking forward to seeing some of that now when he gets to be the final. Him and Ryan Day are the final voice going into an offensive lineman's house or a top running back's house.
Well, Justin Fry's a hell of a personality, too. I mean,
exactly.
Three of them together.
Can you imagine them together, you know, going to get a five-star tackle from somewhere? You know, yeah, they're going to sell some of these kids, some of this stuff. You know, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing that. And, you know, and obviously this offense, I don't think recruiting a receiver is going to fall down at all. Just like I don't think quarterback recruiting is going to fall down at all because, you know, if you get big time quarterbacks that are going to want to still come to the school because Ryan Day is the head coach, you're going to get receivers to be able to follow it. Right. So, like, you know, Brian Hartline's going to have no problem still getting his receivers, even though he's not necessarily dedicated to the receiver room anymore. So, you know, I think all that will be fine.
Very true.
Anything else you want to hit on before we get on out?
Tuff Borland joined Luke Fickell's staff, it sounds like, as a GA. So that's a good first move for him. I like that.
I mean, I gave Tuff a lot of crap as a player, but the kid obviously knew football.
Like, he was smart and tough.
I never questioned his brain. I just didn't feel like, you know, he should be covering Devontae Smith, but
like, athletically Tuff did leave a lot to be desired, but you can't question his heart or his brain while playing middle linebacker.
Great move for Fickell. That's why, you know, another thing that why I think getting a guy like James Laurinaitis is very imperative for Ryan Day because
big time. Luke Fickell there's a good chance he would have left Marcus one way or another this offseason because he would have been James GA at linebacker with the fast track for when Leonard's finally out there, if he's not already, that he would have been the next defensive coordinator linebacker coach at Wisconsin. So I mean, James is no shortage of places that he can go and be an immediate impact and be a coach, because it would have been either with his best buddy at Notre Dame, his former coach at Wisconsin, or at his alma mater.
You know, with obviously the East is the East, you know, but with Fickell at Wisconsin, Rule at Nebraska, you know, Bielema's got Illinois on the rise. USC and UCLA are going to be in the conference here in a year. You know,
Iowa's making no changes offensively. Beautiful.
I mean, you can't lead them to water. The dead horse to, or the horse to water. Sometimes they just are just stubborn.
Not only you can't make them drink, but you can't get them to the water hole either.
You can't even get them there. I mean, my God. Thank God I'm not an Iowa fan. I mean, I have a.
It's a joke.
You know, sometimes it's, you know, being a Buckeye fan, you know, we like the bitch, like the world's crash and burning. And then you look at some of the other teams in the conference and be like, you might have lost to Michigan for two straight seasons. You got to correct that, but you're still the top dog in this conference.
That's what I'm saying, man. I mean, it's still, I hope you don't lose a third time in a row. It's going to be tough in Ann Arbor with a new quarterback, but man, you're still the most talented team, and there's just, you know, your coach, and there's guys that give him a lot of crap, and like, you know, I like Ryan Day, but I'm not like Ryan Day is the end all be all. Like I was very critical at first of the decision because I didn't think he had the coaching experience to be at Ohio State, but you still got to understand, just because there's a guy with experience doesn't mean he's done a damn thing with that experience. Like, there's a lot of guys that have been head coaches that have sucked. So you need more than just like they were a head coach. Where I'm going with this before I go off of too much of a tangent, though, is that Ryan Day's actually shown, though, whether it's always been good choices or not, he's not afraid to replace people. Like, he'll try to make his team better. So
yeah, I agree with
that. He's on the right track. It's just, he's still very early in his head coaching career, but he's making moves. Like, he realizes that, you know, play calling might be too much of a distraction for him when he has a million other things going on. And now it's time to trust it with someone else.
I do like it because, you know, he didn't say Michigan specifically, but he literally said in his press conference, he's like, hey, when things are coming down the stretch, you know, I might need to be focused a little bit more on other aspects of the team. I think that's definitely him saying that, you know, I've lost two straight years to Michigan, and am I not looking at everything that needs to be looked at here in this going into this rivalry game, and that, you know, am I making sure that every aspect of the team is ready to go for it? And, you know, I think he's starting to realize that. And so, yeah, if Brian Hartline can take that load off his plate, and obviously Ryan Day is still going to be heavily, heavily, heavily involved.
Oh, yeah.
And the offensive direction of this football team.
Urban Meyer didn't call his plays. Urban Meyer vetoed a hell of a lot of plays. No, I think JT needs to run the ball here. I mean, yeah. Those weren't Herman designs. I mean, they might have been Warner designs for sure, and Tim Beck, but there was a lot of vetoes. I mean, Ryan Day came in as Urban's offensive coordinator, play caller, and 2017, JT still ran the ball quite a bit.
Yeah. Yeah. And as Zach Smith has always said on his podcast, that Urban was not always the playtest in the world when he would veto.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, be happy for the coach you have. I know, like, I was as critical as the next person when it comes to experience, but Ryan Day does try to make his team better, and he'll keep finding out. And, you know, it might be, you know, hopefully it's this year that they win a national title, but he's very early in his career. It might be another 4 years, but he'll get there. He's finding stuff out about what he needs to do to become a better coach. And he's still successful. I mean, we can't fire a guy because he doesn't get a national title. Like,
yeah.
Now you can get fired for losing to Michigan too many times. So he does need to right that wrong, but he's still one of the top five coaches in college football in year four. So you can't be too, you know, pissed off about what you have.
Yeah, no, definitely agree. Alrighty, I think we should call it a night.
Can I have one more thing without getting in too big of a tangent? We can finish this another time. For the people freaking out about Mark Pantone saying that if a kid's all NIL, we might need to move on from him. He's not saying we're not going to recruit kids nationally. He's saying if a kid comes up and says, hey, give me $1 million or I'm not considering your school, Ohio State's going to tell them to kick rocks and move on down the road. And Ohio State should do that. Like, when Ohio State's not going to be held hostage by anybody.
Here's all I'm going to say about the NIL stuff. And I've said Ohio State multiple times on the show, Ohio State does need to come up with some sort of solutions with the NIL. I've said that. I've said also Ohio State needs to make sure that they're looking at the transfer portal a little bit more aggressively than I think that they do. I've also said that. Here's what I will say about the NIL. Nick Saban literally said in this offseason, like a week ago or 2 weeks ago, that I had two guys basically that wanted a bunch of, and we told them no and have good luck.
Yeah.
From what I'm hearing, Kirby Smart's pretty much being the same way at Georgia. Obviously, you know, we know Dabo's thought process on it, but Clemson's still one of the top teams in the country. So I see Alabama doing this. I see Georgia doing this. I see Ohio State doing that. I'm seeing programs that do have a culture that are not necessarily willing to just blow their culture up just to give somebody,
to get an 18-year-old $1 million to come play there.
And I kind of agree with that. So until USC and Miami and some of these other schools start winning national championships on a regular basis, I'm not going to worry about it as much right now. Yes, I think the collectives, and I like where some of the collectives are moving. I think they need to get a good game plan together. Maybe they need to work with each other a little bit more and come up with some sort of, you know, game plan to get some of the businesses involved and some of the things a little bit better. and a little bit more crisper than they are doing. I understand why they've slow played some of it because it is the Wild West out there. And Ohio State, you know, I've said that, you know, they need to throw the double bird at the NCAA when the NCAA comes knocking, be like, oh, you did a boo-boo. Well, F off. Like,
right, exactly.
Here's my attorney's phone number. You know, you call them and you guys work it out. Like, I feel like Ohio State should do a little bit more of that. Obviously, image still matters a lot to Ohio State. It matters a lot to Gene. So they don't do that. You know, I'm not going to get into Gene Smith's in a lot better position as a human being or, you know, in his career than I've ever gotten to. So, you know, Gene has a reputation that he worries about. And, you know, I respect that. And so I'm not going to, you know, crucify the man because that's his positioning and stuff like that. I think the collectives do need to come up with I think they need to hone in on a game plan. I think they are. It just takes a minute. But I'm not seeing Ryan Day miss playoffs because Miami is throwing 75K at people. Look at all the money that supposedly got thrown around down at A&M, and they sucked this year.
They had a losing record.
Like, it does get to the point, and we've seen this in professional sports. Sometimes the teams that throw around all the you're not finding like the fits and, you know, I mean, the Yankees have had that problems now for how many years?
What was the downfall of the Yankees? Because we saw the Yankees win 3 World Series in a row in the late 90s with a core. Yeah. And they won one, you know, in 96 before that. So they won 4 in 5 years, right?
Yeah.
With just core of people. And then they're like, well, if we buy everybody, we're going to keep winning. Yeah. And they never won again. They won one.
Yeah. You know? They won one in 07 or whatever it was. But yeah, no, they had, you know, before they went out and got the A-Rods and stuff of the world, like Paul O'Neill and Bernie Williams, Brocious, those guys didn't make a lot of money, but they were all key players
They usually get like a splash signing of a pitcher an offseason. Yeah. Like,
thank God. They did bring in some big time people, but it was not, they also had pieces in them. And, mm-hmm. you know, and I know a lot of people probably rolling their eyes on the Yankees. It's just one example, but you know, the Red Sox were the same way when the Red Sox were winning. They had big time players, but they also had, what was that damn freaking shortstop that and Yukis at first base or whatever that always killed the freaking Indians.
Well, you couldn't get the guy out, man. I mean, Yukis was a like 20 at bat pitcher or 20 pitch at bat hitter.
My point is just that, you know, you don't need to be signing. Like, we can throw $1 million at that guy and $1 million at that guy. When Miami starts winning national titles again, I'll be like, okay, Miami's figured the NIL game out, but they're not there yet. We saw this year that they're, you know, they got, obviously, I think some of these teams are bringing in too many top level players because of all this stuff. And you need to have the guys that know the roles.
The first time around, and probably the second too, when Miami was good, it wasn't because they spent millions of dollars to get the kids on campus. They waited till the kids signed because they wanted to be Hurricanes, and then they offered them the millions of dollars to make plays. There's got to be incentive there. You can't just say, here's $1 million, come play for us. The kid's already made his money before doing anything. That is a dumbass way to do business.
Yeah.
So, in a results-driven... you know, industry.
Yeah. And I'm not worried about USC throwing a bunch of money at people right now. I mean, USC needs to win a national title. Okay. Like, you know,
guys do. Yeah. I mean, that's not, I don't need, right. Like Lincoln Riley. I mean, he might be a better offensive mind vertically than Ryan Day, but I don't, he's got to do it. I'm more impressed with Ryan Day than I am with Lincoln Riley as a head coach. And Mario Cristobal, he might have beat Ryan Day head to head one time, but I mean, I don't know. I'm not sold on him in Miami. I mean, you got to start winning games and
So I definitely like Ohio State's approach.
We could do a whole NIL episode.
Let's not blow up the culture of the team, and you know, just because we can start throwing a bunch of money around. Obviously, let's get kids in there. And I liked what some of the kids said this year. Innis said it. A couple of these guys, I could have went and got big time money at some of these other schools. I want to go learn with Brian Hartline and Ryan Day.
Right.
And you know, those I'm going to throw away possibly a better chance to make even more money down the road because, you know, now I'm a first round draft pick. And like, so I think that's, I like that approach. And I think you're going to still get kids like that. I think the Georgias are going to still get kids like that. And I think the Alabamas are going to still get kids like that. And, you know, I like the approach that we're not necessarily going to, until some of these other teams start proving stuff to us that that is the way to go, that, you know, why should I give up the stuff that I know what I'm doing, that I've, this is tried and perfected over how many years?
I mean, I've watched football for a long time, and I don't follow the NFL like I used to. Don't follow the draft like I used to, but there's freak athletes that still will always get drafted high. You don't see a lot of high draft picks though from loser teams, man. Like, you know, like, cause guys check out once they're on a loser, and it just, that's just how life is. So there's not a lot of guys that are getting drafted in the first round of the NFL that, you know, they have teams that lost 6+ games a year. It just, no, it doesn't happen. Like,
when you see Alabama have 8 first round draft picks,
it's because they're winners.
Ohio State have 6. I mean, Ohio State, Alabama, Georgia had a ton. LSU, over the last couple years, several years, we've seen all those teams, Clemson, have had multiple first rounders or multiple first and second rounders. Why? Because, you know, they're all, they bought into their program. Right. They have good coaches and they were developed.
Yeah. And that's that second part, what you just said there, they bought in. Like, if you're not buying in, you're losing. And if you're not, you know, you're not putting in that effort, I don't care who you are. Like, once you start losing, you check out. And you see it all the time. So like I said, there's going to be exceptions to the rule. There always will be, but vast majority of those first rounders come from good teams.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely in on that one. All right. I think we, I mean, again, like you said, we could do an NIL and we'll get into the drolls of spring. We'll talk more about this.
Hey man, we're only like a month away from spring practice. It's all coming back around.
We got some tournament stuff. I mean, we'll be talking about.
God, we gotta talk about them eventually, don't we?
Yeah. So and then you got spring football, and you know, and then you got the draft. So we got, you know, football's an all year sport. Yeah, why Ohio will not let us have spring football? But you know,
so stupid.
One day.
All right. I'm getting us out of here. Thank you everyone for stopping in tonight to the Buckeye Bar. I'm John.
And I'm Mike.
OH.
IO.